That was the year I was there.
Yeah. And that was the least number of games he played. I'm
trying to think what he did.
Until,
in any year.
That was the least number of games he played
and
in any
year. I don't remember him as well.
Yeah, except 1943, yeah. His first year.
Cat George was a good ball, but good fielder, and a good fellow. Nice time. Good.
And one of the first good hitting third basemen, too. Wasn't right about before his time, the third baseman wasn't really expected to be much of a hitter, was he?
Well, they were supposed to be a number six hitter, from what, you know, they hit the long ball, hit a few RBI, but not an average hitter. Yeah, there weren't that many, when you really come to think of it, over the period of time. Then Eddie Matthews came after that.
Yeah.
Pretty third ball player, yes. George fit in very good in that ball club there. It's odd to have an odd letter like K to have three key ball players on your ball club.
Or like with the White Sox, Luke Appling, the great shortstop, followed by Louis Aparicio. I mean, the names are so very similar, even though one of them is Hispanic.
You know what's odd when you think of every once in a while? When you think of names, the 50s had a lot of Y's on them, or I-E's on them. I mean, our ball club, we had like Louis, Nelly, Minnie, me, and Billy. But you had, you found, now you don't see that many nowadays. For some reason, you don't get that. I don't know why that was it just so happened it was that way, you know, but that's the way it was, you know.
You're right. Maybe you can answer this question for me on that, Tigers. In the outfield, was it who, Evers or
Evers?
Evers.
I always used to know Evers. Yeah, he came back, Evers and Wirtz came back from the service in 46, but I saw them in training. But who was the other outfielder on that team? Evers played center.
Dick Wakefield.
One of the first bonus babies.
Yes, he was.
Did he catch some grief over that? I mean, were people resentful that he was given a
Oh, maybe a little bit, but Dick was his own worst enemy. Dick always just never, always figured he had it made, it seemed like. He was a good kid, a good fella, and when he became a mathematician, as a hobby, he did calculus and analytics. As a hobby. But he just wouldn't concentrate on fielding at all. And then he let his hitting got away with him. But he came back, he was with the ball club in 44, I think, what, 345 for that ball club. And they didn't win the pennant. Then he went into the service, and they didn't. And then when he came back from the service the second time, he just never, or he came back from the service, never really materialized. Maybe the service kind of changed him a little bit the other way. Well, Williams, it didn't bother a bit. Dick did.
Poor Feller or some others like
right,
that.
Right, true. Always Bob was a great in and before and after.
Yeah, always interesting to think what their statistics would have been had it not been for those.
Well, losses. I've always said Feller is the best pitcher I've ever seen. Day in, day out, watching a pitcher throw fastballs, curveballs, against any hitter. He was the best guy I've ever seen. He was great. Enjoyed watching him, to see him work.
Well, you're saying simply he was the best pitcher that you saw, not the best right-handed pitcher. Would you single out a left-hander?
Oh, let's see.
You're welcome to say yourself if you would.
No, I wouldn't do that.
A lot of people would.
First, I watched Koufax, and there was a couple years there he was the best I'd seen. But he did his. I have a tough time with Koufax. I didn't see him play very much. Mm-hmm. You know, his career wasn't as long as others.
Yeah.
You get into a World Series. And Ford was as good as anybody. You won't see much better pitcher than Whitey in the World Series.
Quite a money pitcher. Pardon? Quite a money pitcher.
Oh, very. Although, not so great in All-Star games.
Was there
he messed
money
me
on
up points.
Oh.
That was the greatest, one of my best thrills was getting into an All-Star game. I started three All-Star games. Those were big thrills for me. The first two games I pitched three innings the first time, didn't allow any runs. Score was nothing to nothing when I left. Second time I pitched, didn't allow any runs. We were ahead 5-0 when I left. And Ford had a bad day, and they tied it up, and we ended up losing in 12 innings. Then the next time I allowed one run, I was losing 1-0, and Whitey came in again, had a bad day, and we lost 8-3, I think. but as far as World Series goes, he was tough.
There was no way that you could get the Yankees to cooperate at all, was there?
Couldn't get them either against them or for them, not on any team. Although Mantle, the game we were hitting 4-5-0, in Milwaukee. I remember the first inning with a couple on, he hit a home run, we were off to a lead, but we got a victory here for sure. And ended up, they tied it in the eighth or ninth, and we If we were at 4-0 and Early Wynn came in, he pitched 3 innings. We were at 5-0. And Whitey had some problems, and they tied it up, and we lost it later.
Did you get a save in an All-Star game also? Am I remembering that wrong?
No. I was in an All-Star game, and I saved it in the 8th inning, but then I got knocked out in the 9th, and somebody else came in and saved me.
Okay.
Yeah, I came in at 57 and got him out of the 8th inning, and then I got a couple guys on in the 9th inning, and I forget who came in and pitched it, and we won the World Cup. I didn't get to see it.
Let's see who's on that White Sox team. Jack Onslow. I don't know anything
that
about that
manager's
name at all.
Well, nobody did. He was up from the minor league, and they picked him to manage the White Sox. He managed in 49 and half of 50. And then Rick Corden, who used to be a Brooklyn Dodger coach, finished the 50 season out. Then Richards came. Onslow was, I don't think of any notoriety, ever played baseball in the major league. He was a minor league manager.
It seems to me, I'll check this, that time with the White Sox was.
I think that was
only
his only time that he ever had.
Or major league managing experience. I came across another name. Great manager was on that Tiger pitching staff, Fred Hutchinson.
Oh, Freddie, sure. What a competitor he was. Holy smoke.
Yep, that's the only time that he managed.
Yeah.
185 games and lost 113.
That happens.
Obviously.
Well, it was tough for him, too. Here's a man that was an older gentleman when he came to manage. Hadn't been around Major League Baseball at all. He had Luke Appling there, who and a bunch of young fellas. A new, completely new team. It wasn't the easiest team really for anybody to take over really at that time. And so we managed it the first year and the second year. But I'll tell you, his record improved over what they did in 48. 48, they lost 108 games.
But a little room for improvement, that's true. Let's see, Marty Marion was in there between
Marion, for 2 years there later on. In fact, I had two good years for Marty. The year I had the 1.940, I think it was 55 and 56. I won at the 1.97 for 55, and then on the first 20 and 60, 56, right? Yeah.
There's some very solid first basemen on those teams.
Eddie Robinson, Ferris Fane,
batting champion certainly. Walt Groppo, another slugger.
Of course, Fane was not the batting champion with us. With Philadelphia. They brought him to us and they hit him third or fourth. And he was trying for the long ball and his average just took a nosedive with us.
And Ferguson and Seabers.
Right.
Fourth and hit.
And Kluszewski for a while.
Was he?
Well, Tim was here in the World Series in 4-15. He was here half the year. In 59, and then in the World Series with us. The two home runs, first game of the World Series.
Oh, I should have been on that. Yeah.
Yes, that you should know.
We talked about Nellie Fox a little bit, and he's a person a lot of people think should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if that's going to happen, until he gets into the veterans.
Oh, he's been in the veterans now for years, so. Yeah, I think this year he's got a very good chance. This year or next year he should be. I think anyway, because he was so close in the sports writers, and from what I hear, he was very close in the other one. So it could happen very quickly. Yeah, we roomed together for 11 years. We were very close friends. Him and his wife, my wife and I, are very close. We still talk to Joy.
Talked about Luke Appling, Chico Carrascal, and Luis Aparicio. Third base, or a lot of different names of third base.
we never had a solid third baseman. One that stayed over a couple of years, I don't think at any time. We had Kell for a short period of time. We had Bob Dillinger for a short period of time, who both in their own right were pretty good at different times. But other than that, we had, I don't know who we had. When I first came here, Floyd Baker, a great defensive third baseman. But you can look at there, and after that, there was just a lot of different ones.
Some names that I don't know anything about. I don't know anything about Hector Rodriguez, for example.
He played a little bit off and on for us, not that many games. We had Rocky Kresnik was another kid we had for a short period of time. We had, of course, we had Bubba Phillips, Billy Goodman, Sammy Esposito, all played in 59 in third base. Bubba Phillips played most of the time. But third base and first base were a lot of changing going on in the 13 years I was here.
Yeah.
Second base and shortstop, we had pretty good ones all the time, solid.
Now, Chas Michael started second base and then moved to third base when when Fox came. Is that right?
Right. Well, he actually didn't. He moved a little to third, but then he went to Washington. He wasn't here too long. Nelly came here in 50. I think he was 51. Cash went to Washington. That was one of the funny things. Cash goes to Washington. Cash chewed tobacco. Nelly chewed tobacco. So back in those days, you may not remember, but they used to leave the ball in the gloves out on the field. So we go to Washington one day, and we're there. Nelly gets an idea. He knows he stuffs his tobacco and casts his glove on the field. So now we're all watching. Michael's out there pushing the glove out. Nelly, to that, never always brought his glove in from there on.
Just in case.
Just in case. Cass, Cass, I knew Cass well, but he was from Detroit. I knew him very well. I was with him when he got hit in Philadelphia. I was with him at the hospital. I was with him down in spring training when...
Sorry, I don't know that story, but when he got hit in
Cass Michael was hit in the head with a pitch. And boy, went down flat. And went to the hospital. I remember he said, he said, how are you feeling? He's asking me how I was feeling. And we had called his wife, and they came. And when he talked to his wife, he says, Mother, how are you? We had really, he got hit hard, dad. He never played again. That spring, next year's spring training, he said, we'll go down to spring training. He's going to go. I said, okay, we'll go together. We'll go early. So his family, my family, drove down there. And the day before spring training started, we're playing catch. And he wanted to take a little pepper, and I threw him. Different pitches, easy. Every time I threw a pitch here, he didn't touch it. What are you doing here? You've got something. Next day, I'm on the outfield running, and I get a call. Franklin's great. Well, Cass is trying to put an imaginary plug into an imaginary socket. Okay. He said, would you take him to the hospital? He says, nobody has that. He said, if I changed clothes, we took him to the hospital. He came out all right. But he had a couple, he never played ball again, a couple of relapses where he just got clouded under after that. And then about 3 years ago, he had a heart attack or something. But it was a sad thing. It just disappeared with him, it just like that.
And where did you say the accident took place?
In Philadelphia. Or a pitcher, Mario Fracano. Not Tito Fracano, Mario. Well, there's a lot of names back in the 50s you wouldn't know,
You're right, although I must admit, I feel as though I know baseball from 1960 back to 1930 better than I do probably 1960 to 1990.
I'll tell you, they asked me, something came up, they asked me to broadcast television here in 1970. So between 64 and 70, I didn't have much to do with baseball. And so finally, going to Kansas City, I'm looking at the roster. I didn't know a soul. There was one coach I knew. I mean, it had changed, there was an expansion going on, and it had changed so drastically in that period of time. And it was just a different world, I had fun doing it, but the team had a terrible... We lost 100 some games. The White Sox did. It was a tough year to broadcast. But the names of the fellows on the other teams, some of the teams, Kansas City especially, remember, there wasn't anybody on there.
That was a real revolving door.
Real revolving door.
I grew up in the Kansas City area, and they were always going to New York, from New York, it seemed.
Well, and then after that, they went to Oakland, went out this way after that, and then they started over again. It was a tough time for quite a few years.
Yes, it was.
They've done well since. I mean, they've had some good ball, some good fans, worked out pretty good.
I think a lot of people still have very bitter memories of Charles Finley.
Probably so.
And what he did to the town.
Yeah.
They took a lot of offense.
I don't doubt it. I'll tell you, the team that got ripped off as bad as anything was Washington. Washington had a team, and all of a sudden they started getting some ball players. They got Pasquale, and a couple of the hitters, Lemon and Killebrew, were just starting to come up. And then they lifted that franchise, put it in Minnesota, and then started a new franchise in Washington with nothing. And that was a real tough deal, I thought. Really, it was.
Now, I'm very sorry we don't have a ball team in the nation's capital.
Well, then they did come back a few years later. Ted Williams, mm-hmm. and Nelly. They worked it up there. I know I was doing that year. I did television, and I remember trying three different things. I had Nelly on one day, Frank Howard on another day, and Williams on the other day. The long ball hitter,
yeah.
the place hitter, and the all around yeah. hitter. You know, very interesting.
Yeah,
three different fellas, different prospects of the game.
Outfielders you're talking about. Let's see, Dave Philly.
Philly was with us, yes.
And Gus Zernial.
Gus Zernial for a short time. Gus was here in 49, then they traded him. He went to Philadelphia. Mm. We had Zernial. We had a couple of center fielders when I first, Jerry Scala, I'm trying to think of different ones. The different ones we had back in 49 and 50, Lane was changing everybody. I think Willie Miranda went to St. Louis three times. Back and forth. Good little shortstop.
Yeah, I think I kind of remember that too. Yeah, great fielder.
Yeah.
Not much of a hitter.
No.
An average similar to yours.
Yeah, right around that area.
But Minnie Minoso we mentioned, and Rivera. Larry Doby didn't mention his name.
Well, Doby was a good hitter for Cleveland, of course, for a long time. Uh-huh. Then he came over to us, and I remember, I think the first day he joined us, he had a home run against the Yankees, did a good job for us. But I see Larry once in a while, he's working in the commissioner's office?
Oh.
In New York. Oh. In the office there, actually. Oh, he was a good hitter for Cleveland. He could hit that ball a long way. He and Luke Easter. Both of them could hit the ball. Then Al Rosen. They had three long ball hitters, Cleveland, along with their great pitching staff.
Luke Easter died.
Oh, saddest thing I ever heard. Because Luke was a friendly, good fellow. And I guess there was a bank robbery in Cleveland. And he went in to help somebody.